I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you'll hear the second and final part of the interview with April Gallup. It's brief and will be followed by a clip of April discussing her survival experience and what she saw at the Pentagon on 9/11/2001. That'll be followed by a song about April, and then you'll hear her lawyer, Bill Veal, and then you'll also hear Barbara Honegger, who has written about the Pentagon. So let's get started with that second and final part of the interview with April Gallup. April, is there a way that if someone wanted to help you out in your case or your cause, is there anything that people can do to help you out?
Yes, I actually have an address, but if they want to, they can call at this number and they can be directed to a location, 1-866-953-9111, and then they'll be redirected to a location if they want to do that.
What do you mean, a location, like an address you're talking about?
Where yes, an address,
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Well, we can send a format and let them know, here are the outstanding bills that we're trying to get pushed through Congress. Could you write a letter for this?
Okay,
so there's a way for people to help in so many ways.
Okay, and could you give that phone number again?
1-866-953-9111.
Okay, so 1-866-953-9111.
So when they specify how they want to help, they'll be provided direction on what they want to do.
Okay.
But we definitely take donations, so we definitely will not turn that down.
Okay. And April, is there anything that we haven't discussed that you'd like the listeners to know?
I could go on and on, but we're developing a website that's going to have like all the outstanding issues, and that a lot of what the media portrayed was not true, and that I hope that they will do their homework as opposed to just be spoon-fed information, and that to open their minds as opposed to just saying there's no way certain things could be true, just kind of be open-minded, do their own homework, and then just stay tuned to this upcoming September 11th and look out for the website that's going to have ways that they could help, whether it's phone calls, whether it's letters, because a lot of 9/11 really wasn't what people portrayed. For example, they made it seem like so many family members got millions and billions of dollars when really they didn't, when a lot of the actual people who were in the buildings, whether World Trade Center or the Pentagon, were rendered ineligible for a lot of the funds with no clarification on how they're ineligible so that the organizations could keep the money. A lot of people don't know that.
No, I didn't know that either. Now, why do you suppose they do that?
They wanted to keep the money. There's no other, if there was a widow who they had not found remains for, they would tell that particular widow, well, we don't know that your husband was there that day. He could have left you and went to a foreign country. So if certain widows did not have proof, which that's not their fault, you know they worked mm-hmm. there, they know they were there, but they would do very horrific things like that at a very terrible time to people.
I see.
Then for those that were injured, we were right there. We were right there, supposedly been at ground zero, and we could prove that we worked there. There were some photos that were taken. Fortunately, I had to prove my son was there because they would try to say, well, how do we know he really was there? Thank God there was a photo that showed him there being held on the lawn, as I had said, and they still gave grief. We were rendered ineligible for a number of things, and so that's an appeal. And I don't think people really know what the journey was really like, because the media sold this for the few people out of all the people. They did this false portrayal of what the journey was really like. So
yeah,
we wanted to show people that direct giving is better than to continue to give monies to organizations that continue to commit fraud in every disaster. You just have some organizations that have a history and they continue to perpetuate that fraud, and people who are devastated never really get the help that they really need to get back on their feet.
Now, do you have that website?
It's not up as of yet. They did a test run on it, so there was some problems. So I know they're trying to work out getting the glitches.
When it is up and running, if you can contact me and give me the website, I'll share it with the listeners.
Okay, yeah, I'll make sure I contact you back when it's straight.
Okay, great. And is there anything else you wouldn't want to share with us?
I just would never think, maybe in a third world country, we would treat victims a certain type of way, but I would ever have fathomed in my mind that we would treat people in the United States of America in this manner over an incident.
Yeah, I think that's been shocking for all of us.
Yeah. Like, wow. So it's really been something.
So you've been on quite a journey, and you were there, and you're a victim, and you deserve much better treatment than you've gotten.
I mean, you would think. When they work on you so hard, you feel like, I mean, we had one agency to say, well, just because we got this doesn't mean that you're not entitled. You're not entitled to have this. And we're like, what? You wait a year later to say this? After all of this, you could have said it in the beginning. So it's just the things that they say live and in person has just been like, wow. But the media goes and they paint this picture and like, oh, they got this. Yeah, maybe, you know, out of 200 people, 10 people. I mean, even smaller than that. We're hoping the website will help better educate people, put the facts, not fiction.
That was the final part of the interview I did last week with April Gallup. Due to some technical difficulties, I had to edit brief parts of it, including the ending. And as many of you may already know, April has a legal case against Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and General Richard Myers. It was denied in a court in New York City earlier this year, and the appeal was in New Haven, Connecticut on April 5th, 2011, where one of the three judges hearing the appeal was none other than Judge John Walker, former President George W. Bush's cousin. Her lawyer tried to remove him from the case for obvious reasons, but was denied. A decision has not been given yet on the appeal. And I'm going to tell you about another little coincidence involving our former president and his family. According to David Ray Griffin in his book, Debunking 9/11 Debunking, quote, we learn that Marvin Bush, the president's brother, and Wirt Walker III, Marvin and George's cousin, were principals in a company that provided security for the World Trade Center, with Walker being the CEO from 1999 until January 2002. This is one of the many relevant facts that the 9/11 Commission did not tell the American public. Unquote. But now, let's get back to April Gallup. Here's an audio clip from 2008 with April talking about her experience in the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001.
On September 11th, 2001, I had returned back from maternity leave. I had to get Elijah situated in daycare. I walked into the building. I had to clear Elijah to go to the area. There were some things that they wanted me to take care of prior to me taking him to the daycare. I sat down at the computer to actually turn the computer on. As soon as I pressed the button, boom. So at that particular time, based off what happened, I thought I had triggered a bomb. I was covered from my neck all the way down to my back in debris. My son was completely blown out of his stroller, and some of the floors had collapsed within, and people were trapped in between the floors. My son had stopped crying, so I felt strength out of nowhere to actually low crawl from out under the debris to try to find my son. But because there were so many people in that area, whether they were screaming or, you know, crying or saying, help me, save me, I felt pretty much divided. I didn't know if to help them first or to try to find my son. But I had tried to lift some of the debris to find my son, and I wasn't able to locate him, so I helped the other people with the thought that they would help me find my son. But due to all the hysteria, they just wanted to get out. There was an area where there was a pack of debris. We climbed over it, and in one last effort, I had reached down while there were two people holding my arm. I had reached down under a pack of debris and pulled my son up by his onesie, which is a T-shirt that snapped in between a child's leg. I put him over my shoulder and proceeded to get out of that particular location that had collapsed. And I came out in what is believed to be the entrance or the place of initial impact and was placed on the lawn that was closest to the highway prior to be transported to the hospital on that particular day. While I was coming out of the Pentagon, I didn't see any evidence of metal, airplane seats, luggage, nothing that would give me any indication that it was a plane that had hit the building. I lost one shoe, so I was walking through the area barefooted. So I was particularly careful to try to make sure I did not step on anything sharp while I had my son on my shoulder. I did not have jet fuel over my body. My son didn't have jet fuel over his body. The people that I helped didn't have jet fuel on their body. There was nothing on the inside that would give me any indication that there was a plane on that particular day that hit the building. Most of the people that were in the area where I was located, and again, I did ask because maybe I was off in my judgment, but in speaking with everyone, it was conclusive that no one else in the area where I was located had seen any parts of planes or luggage or baggage or anything of that nature. Yes, I believe it's something part of much more sinister, and that's why my goal is to try to push for a federal grand jury so that people can be brought forth for perjury and obstruction of justice. I mean, when you go out of your way to fabricate an official story, when obviously the evidence that appears, whether it's footage or the work that many people have done, shows that the official story couldn't possibly be true, then yes, you should be brought to justice. And when people can come together and feel like they can utilize, human beings as lambs to a slaughter, yes, that's what's unpatriotic, that's what's un-American. We'll turn our own people to sacrifice them for whatever their motive may be, regardless that their motive is of no significance, but the fact that they would use, innocent human beings as lambs to a slaughter to perpetrate whatever it is their cause or motive is. Yes, they should be brought to justice, and it's obvious, that the official story is it has been fabricated pretty much.
And now here's musician Gary Fox. Gary, in addition to being a fine musician, has a weekly cable access show in Middletown called 9/11 Illumination. It airs on Mondays at 10 p.m. You're going to hear part of a song he wrote and dedicated to April Gallup. So here goes. Gary Fox.
My name is Gary Fox. This is a song I wrote called April Soul, dedicated to April Gallup.
There's a story that must be told, which is why I pray for April's soul. She took her newborn baby to work one day. When she turned on her computer, it blew up in her face. The ceiling caved in on April and her son. Oh my God, what had they done? Well, she was lucky to crawl out alive when over 120 other people in the Pentagon died. She had the courage to tell the truth. You never know what you will be called to do. When her medical bills piled up, she took her case to court. But she lost her case and all the benefits, to make a long story short. And I wonder where she is today. And I wonder what she has to say. And so I pray for April's soul. I hope she knows that she's not alone. Can you admit what you're afraid to know? And won't you pray for April's soul? Which is why I pray for April's soul. I hope she knows that she's not alone. Can you admit what you're afraid to know? And won't you pray for April's soul?
And now you're going to hear April Gallup's attorney, Bill Veal, from the Center for 9/11 Justice, talking about the case against Cheney, Rumsfeld, and General Myers. This clip is from 2008.
Hi, my name is Bill Veal. I'm a trial lawyer in California. My state bar number is 60136. For about 30 years or so, I was a public defender. I did my best to protect the rights of impoverished citizens accused of crime, trying to find some part of justice for them and their families. But now I've turned my attention to another struggle for justice that involves every citizen of this country, maybe even every inhabitant of the planet. I am a partisan of 9/11 truth. To each of you who thinks of yourself as part of that movement, whether in this country or around the world, whether you've lost a friend or had a marriage strained as a result of your convictions, or maybe you've just done the reading, been to the lectures, watched the DVDs, stayed awake the nights, I offer you now the services of a lawyer, an enterprise that would seek justice in a court of law, an effort to bring the truth of which we have become certain to the bar of history and accountability. A while ago, a group of us created the Center for 9/11 Justice as a fundraising vehicle to provide resources for legal strategies which we at that point had only begun to consider. 3 weeks ago, on December 15, 2008, we filed a lawsuit in the federal court in the Southern District of New York against three of the main perpetrators of the crime: Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and General Richard Myers. A woman by the name of April Gallup, a soldier who was injured in the attack on the Pentagon, has courageously come forward to act as plaintiff. Now, in a perfect world, that would not have been necessary. In a perfect world, the ordained forces of democracy, regardless of party affiliation or political persuasion, would have taken the time to acquaint themselves with the facts of the case. They would have had the allegiance to truth and the desire for justice that would have driven them to the fight, which is so obviously required. They would have called for an honest investigation, and they would have impaneled a grand jury or initiated impeachment proceedings. And if not in the first 2 or 3 years, at least by now, in January 2009, people of this country and of the world could take some comfort that the laws by which we live our lives would treat the crimes of September 11, 2001 as they deserve to be treated. Now, our world is far from perfect, but in this country we do have lawyers, we do have courts, we do have the principles of justice that can guide this fight. So if it is left to the citizens of the world to underwrite the effort, if it's left to a retired public defender and a veteran civil rights lawyer, Dennis Cunningham, to carry on the work, then so be it. It must be done. So I ask each of you now, no matter where you live, no matter what language you speak, no matter how far removed you consider yourself to be from the failings of the world's most powerful country, I ask you to take whatever you feel you can afford and visit our website, centerfor911justice.org. It is time for the people of the world to express their outrage at events that took place over 7 years ago, for which no major participant has been held to account. Please help us if you feel you can.
And now you're going to hear Barbara Honegger speaking about the Pentagon. Honegger was a researcher and policy analyst for the Reagan administration. She wrote about the October surprise, and if you don't already know about that, I would encourage you to check it out. It's an event that every American should know about. But anyway, Barbara Honegger has done research on the Pentagon, and here she is sharing some of it.
This is my chapter called The Pentagon Attack Papers, which is intentionally titled after Daniel Ellsberg's revelations in Watergate that broke Watergate open, called the Pentagon Papers. One of my most important discoveries, from official and public sources, putting the dots together, is that on the morning of 9/11 at 9:32 a.m., which is long before the official story says anything hit the building, regardless of what it was, a bomb went off inside the Pentagon, at least one bomb. There was a massive explosive event inside the Pentagon at 9:32. How do we know that? We know that for certain from a number of lines of converging evidence that make it 100% certainty. The most important and the first that I came to know was that there are still Pentagon clocks, large wall battery wind-up, battery-operated clocks that were all stopped, multiple clocks, at almost the same time by the explosive violent event at the Pentagon that morning. All of those clocks are stopped between about 9:31 and a half and 9:32 and a half. But the official story says that Flight 77 didn't hit the building until at least 5 minutes, and the original official story said 15 minutes later. So obviously, whatever caused the clocks to stop at 9:32 wasn't caused by something that hit the building at the earliest at 9:37, which is the current official story of Flight 77 hitting the building. So from there, I realized, and these are clocks, by the way, these stopped clocks that officers at the Pentagon recovered from the Pentagon debris. One of them is in a plexiglass case at the Smithsonian Institution, at the Smithsonian Institution's own 9/11 exhibit. Others of them are on official U.S. Department of Defense websites, the U.S. Navy website. You can go there today. And in my Pentagon attack papers, I give the URL where you can still go and find it to this day. So these are official sources that prove that the official story, not only of what, but when the Pentagon was attacked, is false. There are other important converging lines of evidence that there was a violent event, almost certainly bombs or a bomb, at the Pentagon at 9:32 in the morning on 9/11. Another official document. The FAA's, the Federal Aviation Administration's, own official executive summary chronology of September 11th reads that the attack at the Pentagon happened at 9:32. Denmark's about-to-be foreign minister, Per Stig Møller, was in a building where he looked out and he saw the first fireball at the Pentagon on the morning of 9/11, just by happenstance. He looked at his watch, it said 9:32. He immediately left the country and flew back to Denmark, where he gave radio and television interviews, where he told all of Europe that the Pentagon attack happened at 9:32. Last night here at the conference in Chicago, I was interviewed by documentarians who were doing a film on 9/11 for Italy and for European television. And when they learned that I was actually doing investigation and bringing out facts about the Pentagon attack, they asked me the question before the interview. They said, why doesn't the 9/11 truth movement talk about the Pentagon attack? Why do they only talk about the World Trade Center, or mostly about the World Trade Center attack? And they told me that in Europe, 9/11 for years only meant the Pentagon attack. The World Trade Center was peripheral for them. Whereas here in the United States, it's exactly the opposite. And there has even been a kind of taboo within the 9/11 truth movement to looking at the facts, let alone talking about them publicly, about the Pentagon attack. Well, I don't honor taboos because I'm about truth and bringing the truth to the public. Now, some of my inside interviews, because I work for the Department of Defense, I have interviewed people who still work for the Department of Defense who were there at the Pentagon that morning. One of the most important interviews is with an Army financial auditor from the Army base in New Jersey, Fort Monmouth, who was temporary duty assigned to the Pentagon before and on and a little bit after 9/11. He's willing to go public. I have his name and I'm willing to give it to a grand jury or a congressional investigation, etc. He told me that he and his two colleagues from Fort Monmouth, Army auditors also, came to the Pentagon every morning for a couple of weeks before 9/11 and on 9/11, that they arrived at the Pentagon Metro stop at approximately 7:15 to 7:30 in the morning, and that on the morning of 9/11, not before and not after, but only on the morning of 9/11, there were special bomb-sniffing canine dog teams with camouflaged handlers, dog handlers, and bomb-sniffing dogs, multiple teams of these, at the Pentagon Metro stop just that morning at approximately 7:30, which is absolute proof that at least the Pentagon police, who probably were the bomb squads with the dogs, that at least the canine teams, the bomb-sniffing teams at the Pentagon Metro stop on 9/11, had anticipated a bomb attack. For whatever reason, for whatever intelligence, the Pentagon itself anticipated a bomb attack of some kind at the Pentagon on 9/11. And there were dog bomb sniffing teams at the Pentagon Metro stop 2 hours at least before the bomb went off at the Pentagon on the morning of 9/11.
I can't tell you exactly what happened at the Pentagon on September 11th, 2007, but I can tell you that the official story, which is that alleged hijacker Hani Hanjour flew American Airlines Flight 77 into the Pentagon, causing all the damage. This just isn't supported by the evidence. It's this kind of evidence that motivates me to demand and work for a new investigation into the events of 9/11. The consequences of 9/11 are no small matters. Just pay attention to how many times in a day our corporate media and government officials reference 9/11 to justify wars, huge military and homeland security budgets, torture, military tribunals, the curtailment of our civil liberties, and the destruction of our Constitution. And I could add more to that list. Our post-9/11 world is very different from our pre-9/11 world. And I know that we've been lied to about what really happened on 9/11, and I know that there's a cover-up going on. And here's one example of a cover-up. On the morning of 9/11, Secretary of Transportation Norman Mineta was in the Presidential Emergency Operations Center under the White House, where Dick Cheney was in charge. Here's what Norman Mineta told Lee Hamilton, the vice chairman of the 9/11 Commission, about what he observed there. And this is from David Ray Griffin's book, Debunking 9/11 Debunking. And this is what Norman Mineta said. During the time that the airplane was coming into the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, "The plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, "Do the orders still stand?" And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, "Of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?" Now, this is pretty serious evidence because it indicates a stand-down order, and it also shows that they knew enough in advance that the plane was heading toward the Pentagon where they could have evacuated the building and saved lots of lives. So how did the 9/11 Commission report deal with Mineta's testimony? They simply omitted it from the final report. My understanding is that they also erased it from the video of the hearings. But you can still see it by going to YouTube and searching for Norman Mineta. So I think that April Gallup is pretty courageous. I mean, how many people would sue Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and General Myers? I mean, that takes a lot of courage and persistence. I'll share with you anything I hear about the status of her appeal in the case against those three. And now, in case you missed it, I, along with three other 9/11 truth seekers, was interviewed on the Colin McEnroe Show on NPR on Monday, April 18th, 2011. You can go to WNPR.org and click on the schedule and then Colin's show and then look for the archived shows and you can hear it there. I want to thank Colin for doing this show. He's one of the few who has taken the risk to air our point of view. And if you want to see the videos of our March 26th conference called Investigate Building 7, you can access all the video by going to the website ct911truth.org. And if you want to help to put the ad on in New York City about Building 7, you can go to their website to donate at rememberbuilding7.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.